Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Things are different now. I'm an adult. When I was a kid, things were much different than they are now. For instance, when I was a child, if my parents ever wanted to leave or go do something without me and my siblings, they would have to find a guardian, a babysitter. You know, they'd have to call up my cousin or somebody else to stay at the house and watch. Because who knows, if we weren't watched, maybe we would, you know, hurt each other, or maybe we would tear up the house, and then who would really be in trouble? And so we had a guardian. Things are different now. When I was a child, I was sort of at the whims of my parents of where we were going to go. I didn't get to just open the front door and go wherever I wanted. I got driven around by them. If we went for a walk, I would hold their hand. This is how it worked. Now that I'm an adult, well, I don't have to have 24/7 adult supervision because I can supervise myself. I could go days on end without a babysitter. Because things are different. Same thing. If I really want, I can open my garage door, I can pull my car out of the driveway, and I can go wherever I want to go. Because I'm an adult. I am a mature, responsible human being. Something I couldn't say about myself when I was a child. Our text for this morning from Galatians 3 and 4 points out a similar reality in our lives. First, we see how life is under the law, and then we see how life is when everything changes and how life exists under the gospel. Our text shares these words. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. Being under the law is the same thing as being imprisoned, chained, bound, living as a captive. And in fact, consider the Old Testament Israelites, what they had to go through, right? They had food laws, they had marriage laws, they had sacrificial laws, they had holiday observance laws, they had laws on how to manage your finances, they had laws on how far they could travel, they had all sorts of different things. And then when they failed to keep all of these laws, there were actually other laws in place on how to receive forgiveness. More regulations to put on top of the other regulations we couldn't do. And so hopefully we don't screw these ones up and we can actually get the forgiveness we need. It was all in anticipation for the time when something better would come into the world. A Savior. Jesus. We all know him by name now. But could you imagine living in that time? In that time of regulation, in that time of restriction, when the weight of the law was kind of on their shoulders. It's no wonder that in Galatians they compare God's law to prison. It makes sense. But consequently, sometimes even in our own lives, it feels as if God's word is heavy. That it's too much to bear, that it puts a lot of weight on our shoulders, and that it becomes very difficult to follow. If you've ever felt that way about any part of God's law, it means you've felt this imprisonment too. And this is the tendency towards God's people even today. We struggle under the law because we have this tendency towards what's called legalism. That is, if you want God's favor, well then you have to do X, Y, or Z. If you want to be a good Christian, then you have to do this specific set of things. It's not true. That's not what it means to be a Christian. The Israelites didn't follow God's laws to earn his favor. If you're already receiving 100% of God's love and mercy and blessings, then what can you do to get to 110%? Nothing. There is no 110%. 100% is all of it, right? You're already receiving everything good from God, and it's not because you're a great person. It's not because you follow the law. It's because of God's mercy, period. God simply chose you. just like he chose the Israelites. The reason he gives the law is because he wants them to be set apart from the rest of the world. He wants them to live differently. He wants them to act differently. He wants people to know that this people is different because they're my people. And so he gives them this law to take care of them and to set them apart. But as we sort of bring this into our own time, the truth is that we're tempted. We're tempted to think that to be a good Christian, it means I have to go to church on Sunday. That will earn me favor with God. And certainly this is the place of forgiveness. That's where it is delivered. But you're not doing God any favors. You're not any greater in his eyes because you have perfect church attendance. We're tempted to think that, you know, well, we need to honor authorities. We need to respect those above us because that way God will love us more. And it's not true. God already loves you 100%. We're tempted to think, well, I have to be a good person and not say anything bad about people, and I shouldn't steal people's stuff, because if I do those things, then I'll be a good Christian. But that's not what it means to be a good Christian. No, God gives us the law to take care of us. In fact, in Scripture, we hear very specific words. They'll know we are Christians by our love. That's the summary of the Ten Commandments. That's why we follow the Ten Commandments. That's why we'll show up to church and we'll protect our neighbor's possessions and we won't talk bad about people behind their back, is because we have the great opportunity not only to love God, but to love everybody else. God sets us apart for the task, and people do know that we are Christians by our love. But how do we understand this law? You know, we feel captive by it sometimes. Sometimes it does feel like this burden. But as the text says, the law is our guardian until Christ came. Guardian. And in fact, in the Greek, it's the word paedagogos. That's fun to say. Which, as we move that into English, it means pedagogue or teacher. But in Paul's time, what this would have been is there was the master of the house, the father, and he would have slaves underneath him as well as his children. And so what he would do, especially for the young men in the family who were, you know, sort of tended to be a little unruly or a little mischievous, and those who would eventually inherit all of the property, they were precious and they needed to be taken care of. They needed to be protected. And so the master would appoint a slave to be their guardian, to be their pedagogue, who would watch over them, make sure that if they're traveling from point A to point B, they don't get attacked. Make sure that if they're starting to get out of line a little bit, this pedagogue had authority to discipline these boys. And then what did he always do? But he always went back to the master, went back to the father, and reported back what his son was up to. It's because he loves his son. That's why a master would do this, to make sure that his child is raised and doesn't fall into any harm. My friends, the law is our pedagogue. The law is our guardian. He's established for our good. But just as all of us have to be raised from children into adulthood, just as all of us, you know, as we learn more and more responsibility, it's not until there's an appointed time that we understand the real role of the law, the real role of our guardian. The text says it like this: "But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." Everything changes when Jesus comes. He didn't come to get rid of the law. He didn't say, hey, all that stuff that you guys were doing under the law, that was bad, and now I'm good. Or you don't got to worry about all that stuff you learned under your guardian before. Actually, that wasn't good for you. That's not what Jesus says at all. Instead, what he does, he fulfills the law. He takes the weight of the burden of the law and he lifts it off your shoulders as he dies on the cross, as he comes back to life, as he sheds his blood, as he ascends into heaven. He is doing all of this for you, to be your Savior. In fact, the law's necessity is to show us how great a Savior really is. I'll never forget when I was in college. My freshman year, my parents dropped me off. And, you know, I been in my parents' house for my entire life. And as I watched their car drive away, I walked to my dorm room and I sat down in my chair and I thought to myself, well, what do I do now? There's so much freedom. There's so many choices I could make, so many decisions that I could do. But you know what? I did have a lot of fun in college. But it's not as if I went and just threw out everything my parents taught me throughout my first 18 years. Instead, I used the responsibility that they taught me. I used some of the discipline that they had delivered to me, and I employed it into my life, and I've been doing it ever since. And sometimes I still screw up, and I need forgiveness too. But this is how the law operated for us. It taught us, it teaches us responsibility, how we should live in a better world, how we can love God, how we can love our neighbors. And sure, certainly sometimes we screw up and we need forgiveness. But it would be the wrong thing for us to say, well, Jesus died for me, I can do whatever I want now. We're Christians. We have the full revelation of God's word at our very fingertips every single day of our lives in the Bible. Let's not throw away the things that he taught us in our younger years just so that we can do what? Pretend to be adults? Pretend to be mature in our faith? My friends, Jesus comes to declare you forgiven, to declare you sinless by his own sinlessness. And so now the law isn't something that we have to do as a regulation or a restriction or an imprisonment. The law is now something that we get to do. We get to live as sons and daughters of God. That's a wonderful gift. And instead of being set apart by this regulation, by this imprisonment, now we are set apart to be the heirs. To be sons and daughters that God will smile down upon and say, yes, you are my redeemed. You are my righteous people. You are innocent by the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. Do you want it? It all sounds pretty good, right? Paul tells us how to get it too. It's in baptism. For as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This is your reality. It's why every day we should wake up with the sign of the cross. Remember who we are as heirs that God has given heaven to, as his sons, as his daughters, and to live in that baptism, to live in that promise. Because it's a wonderful gift. My friends, our question before us, because we are Christians, is no longer, how does the law force us to live? The question is how do we desire to live? And as Christians, we desire to live in God-pleasing ways. And that means according to his law, according to what the Lord has given us in Scripture. And so today, my challenge for you is first, to know and remember that your sins are forgiven in your crucified and risen Savior. And now, live as someone who believes that promise. Because in doing so, you will not only love God, but you will love each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.